Welcome to It's All Journalism. My name is Michael O'Connell, and here I am with the second podcast, the bonus mini podcast that I'm putting out in conjunction with Podcast Movement, which took place the 6th through the 8th in Chicago. And this time around, I'm talking to Cesar Abid, who works for Automattic, which is the company behind WordPress.com. And a lot of podcasters and journalists who are bloggers use WordPress for their websites. And I thought it would be interesting to have a little conversation about, you know, how people use WordPress and, you know, especially if they're just starting out in with a blog or launching a podcast. Cesar also has his own podcast, the Project Management for the Masses podcast, and we start out talking about that. So enjoy. This is another interview from Podcast Movement. And with me today is, could you introduce yourself and your podcast?
My name is Cesar Abid. I work for Automattic, which is the company behind WordPress.com. And my podcast is called the Project Management for the Masses podcast.
Okay, well, let's talk about that first. What is Project Management for the Masses? Who's that for, and what is it about?
Yeah, well, project management is basically the secret formula that big companies like Apple and Google use to take an idea and turn that into a product. Okay, so every year, the CEO for Apple, Mr. Tim Cook, will get up on the stage and take a device out of his pocket and say, this is the next iPhone or iGadget. And then he's going to say, you know, you'll be able to buy this on this date, and you'll be able to pay this much for it. And year after year, he delivers on that promise, right? Now, a new iPhone is a very complex thing, a very complex project to deliver, and yet they do this every year, and they deliver. So is that because they have a lot of money or because they're really good? They have a lot of money.
And they're very good.
But so there are some companies, and I have a very good example of an institution that have a lot of money, and they made a very specific promise of something way less complex, and they failed. In fact, this institution can print money on demand if they need to, legally, and they still failed. And that would be, do you remember the website for Obamacare that was promised by the government? They made a promise for something very specific, way less complex than an iPhone, that was supposed to be working on a specific date and would have cost an X amount of dollars on the taxpayers.
Yeah, but that's government bureaucracy you're dealing with. So.
Yeah, well, but they put a man on the moon as well, on time and on budget.
After 10 years.
Right.
But anyway,
within the end of that, before the end of the decade, that was a timeline.
They beat their deadline.
So the point here is that Apple and Google, they are master project managers, right? So, and there are some things that we can learn from them. So we too can take ideas and make a promise to our audience or to our wives or to our kids or to our whoever it is. And then follow this step-by-step recipe and deliver on them and have something tangible that you can sell or use or give.
Okay. So your audience for that are project managers, people who have a product or a service or whatever they want to get. They want people to find out about, and they want their product to be successful.
Yeah. And interesting, that was the beginning. That was my audience at the beginning. But more and more people are finding themselves in this situation that they're asked by their boss or by their employer to, we need, a social media plan for the launch of our next product. I want a budget, I want a deadline from you by next week, right? So work is getting more complicated in a way that we have to make these estimates, and we have to create these things out of thin air, and have numbers we can do this for this much money and on that date. And I think we are ill-equipped as human beings to make those things out of the top of our heads, you know, from the top of our heads. So project management provides you with a set of tools and techniques that you can break down these projects into smaller chunks and then further into tasks, and then you can sequence them, and you can estimate prices and quotes and deadlines and come up with schedules and things like that. So you can make these promises with more confidence.
Yeah, that's certainly applicable for somebody who's launching a podcast. That, you know, I may know nothing about a podcast, but I know I need to get it online. I know I need to maybe create a website. I know I need to have a place for my audio to live. I know I need to get an RSS feed for iTunes. I know I need to monetize it. I need to promote it. I need to do all these things. I don't want to do it now because I've got all this big mountain to climb.
Yeah.
But it's really not a mountain. It's just lots of little steps.
Exactly. And not only that, I think there is work that is project, and there is work that we call operations. So, for example, the launch of the podcast is a project. It has a beginning, it has an end, it creates something unique. The ongoing promotion and creation of the content, that is more like operations, because you don't have an end in sight. So when I don't like that kind of work. I like having a deadline and having something to check off as done, right? So what I did when I launched this podcast is not only did I treat the launch as a project, right, but I also treated the whole podcast as a project. So I made a promise on my first episode that I was going to do 20 episodes, okay? And at the end, that would be it, unless things changed along the way.
You make $1 million out of it.
Yeah, or I like it so much that I want to do more. But I made that promise. So in my mind, because that's the thing. You're going to start a podcast, it's overwhelming to think, man, I'm going to be doing this forever. And what if I don't like it? What if something happens? What if I can't do it? I'm going to disappoint my audience. But if you have an end in sight, then it's easier for you to internalize internalize that as something that is manageable, and it's a lot easier also to break them down into more manageable chunks, and learn what to delegate, what you need to do it yourself, and because you know you have an end in sight.
Yeah, right? Yeah, and that's a great strategy because. I mean, you admit you know yourself that you're more interested in the launch. That if the only goal you had was to launch the podcast, you would have been bored by the second episode. It's like, well, I've done this. Why do I need to keep doing it? So you created a pattern for you to sort of move forward.
Right.
One of the reason I wanted to talk to you for the book and for the podcast that I'm doing is you work for WordPress.
Right.
And WordPress is. You know, my podcast website is on WordPress. I have experience building WordPress sites. I don't want to say building.
Yeah.
I get themes in and I make the put pretty pictures in and everything or stuff like that. So I'm not doing any hard coding here. I do a little coding. Anyway, the point is that WordPress is a great resource for people who are just starting out in podcasting, who just want to get a website that they can put their junk in. So tell me about, you know, the WordPress, how does can be useful to people who are doing podcasts.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of my favorite books for anybody starting a podcast or blog is Platform by Michael Hyatt. And I know if you're familiar with this book, but he talks about when you engage online with your content, that's important to be on social media, which he calls outposts. You know, LinkedIn, Facebook. That's where you go to meet people who are out there in the wild, and you pass on business cards and stuff. But more important than that, it's good for you to have your home base, right, or your headquarters on the web that you have control over. So there's a lot of people today focusing on their Facebook page, which is great. But Facebook can change the rules tomorrow, and then all of a sudden you lose your audience. I mean, they did that. Remember, when you had people liking your page, everybody was able to see things that you posted. Now they can't. You need to pay to boost your post. And now the rules changed, and people who invested a lot of money and a lot of effort into building an audience in Facebook, they kind of they basically had to start over again. So the WordPress actually allows you to have an easy to maintain, easy to set up home base online that is your home, and you have total control over the domain, the looks, the feel, what the content is, and you know if you have a podcast, it's a place for you to send your audience to. From within your show, right? So if you have an ebook or if you want them to sign up for your mailing list, it can just point them to your domain and on air, and then they have a place to go to. So I think every podcaster should have a home base online, and when choosing what platform to use, I mean, WordPress is the platform of choice. Besides, I think every single podcaster I've ever known, maybe with one exception or two, they have a WordPress site. And outside of podcasting, WordPress powers 26% of the entire web. So one in every four websites that exist today is WordPress. It's mind-boggling, right? So
yeah.
The result is that it's well adopted, and there's a lot of support. There's a lot of documentation. Remember when I was growing up in Brazil, Everybody drove a VW Bug. That's all we had there.
You could fix them real easy.
Right. Yeah. And everybody had parts. Everybody knew how to fix them. And it was a non-nonsense car that got you from here to there, right? So in a way, WordPress is like the VW Bug. You know, it's highly customizable. Everybody knows how to fix it. If you need help with it, you can go on one of those Odesk VA sites and pay somebody to fix it. Anybody can do it, right? Any web developer can fix a WordPress site. So I think it makes sense to choose it, and if you do choose it, there's a lot of support, including from our company.
Yeah. As I said before, our website, my website at work is actually in the last year or so they moved over from their own CMS to a WordPress CMS.
Okay.
And I can tell you, it's made my work life.
Yeah.
A lot easier because not least of which is the fact that I had experience on WordPress before, but it's just a lot easier to use.
Yep.
I don't want to turn this so much into an ad for WordPress, but more the idea of, you know, having a place, a domain that is yours. You know, when I launched my podcast, you know, I went out and I got the URL from, you know, I went to GoDaddy to see if they had it. I purchased that. I created WordPress and I created a page there, and I was able to get my domain name, the name for that WordPress page. And like you said, it's important when you're to send people where they can find you, not just the content that you have and information about you, but, you know, for example, iTunes is kind of the, you know, the big bear in this thing that they, you know, everybody wants to get their podcasts on iTunes because, you know, hey, all the podcasts are there. But the fact is, all the podcasts are there. But if you are fortunate enough to go over 50 episodes, you know, episode one, once you reach 51, disappears on iTunes. So it's good to have a place where people can find your archives. They can find your older episodes. And there are other solutions for that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, a couple of the hosting platforms we've talked to, I was just talking to somebody over at Audible. I mean, they create an embeddable player, and that's something you can embed on your website. So not only is you know, at a place for your archives and your blogs and other information, but it's a place where maybe your podcast is going to live. The people, you just direct people to it, and they can play it there, they can listen to it there, they can download it there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really important to do that. So if I'm starting out with a podcast, and I want to have a website, I want to have a WordPress site, how do I go about doing that?
So if you want a podcast and you want to have a WordPress site, then those things kind of go together, right? So, I'm not familiar how much your audience knows about podcasting, but
go right ahead.
Yeah. So a podcast feed, it's kind of like a blog feed. So you need a place that will generate that feed for you. WordPress generates the feed out of the box. You don't have to do anything about that. You just have to install WordPress in GoDaddy, for example, and then you have your feed. And then what you need is you need a place to store your MP3 files, your interviews, your episodes, right? So you can use a company like Libsyn or Blueberry.
I use Blueberry.
You use Blueberry. So you need because you cannot store... It's not recommended that you store your MP3 files with GoDaddy or your website host company for a number of reasons. So we can get into that as well. And then what you need to do, you need to make a connection between your WordPress site and your media host. In your case, it's all internal because you have the Blueberry plugin that does that for you. And you can use the Blueberry plugin to connect to another, like Libsyn, for example, like I do. I use Libsyn. So you need your WordPress site and hosting. You need media hosting. You need the plugin on your site to make that connection. And then you need to take that feed from your site and submit it to the catalogs like iTunes or Stitcher or Google Play, places like that. So it's a few moving parts that take a little bit of tweaking at the beginning. But once you set it up and you kind of get the hang of it, it's actually not that complicated.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of resources out there that are free to teach you how to do this exactly that way.
Yeah, and one of the reasons why, you know, early on when I was putting together our podcast and thinking about how to do it, I'm not sure where I read it, but they sort of went through the whole reasoning why you don't want to upload your MP3s to your WordPress page. You want to have somebody else host it, or you don't necessarily want it to be, you know, like on your GoDaddy domain, because, you know, what happens, you know, heaven forbid, you have a really popular podcast. if you have a really popular podcast and it's on your WordPress page, that's probably going to affect your website speed, I would imagine. And so if your overall thing is you're trying to drive people to your website, they're going to have a less than fun experience when traffic to your traffic to your podcast is actually slowing down their experience on just coming to the website. Mm-hmm. So it works against you. It's better to have the podcast as something separate.
Not only that, I think a lot of the website hosting companies, they'll have a cap on how much data you can have stored there. They're not optimized for streaming content. I mean, they're optimized for serving small little files, HTML files, PHP files, not, you know, 50 megabyte MP3 files. And it's usually shared hosting, so the streaming of that file for the listener might be slow. And that's, you don't want that, right? You don't want somebody to press play and for the file to not be there immediately. So for those reasons and many others, it's recommended to go and use not only a media host that is optimized for media, but also one that does not charge you by bandwidth or by usage. Right? So let's say Oprah mentions you, and all of a sudden you have a million people downloading your show. You don't want to be on a plan somewhere that will charge you proportionally to the number of downloads.
Yeah.
Right? So Libsyn and Blueberry, I believe the same, they charge you a flat fee, and it doesn't matter how many people are listening or downloading, you pay that flat fee.
Yeah, yeah. It's just some of these considerations that you don't even really think about. Now, I've got my WordPress page set up, and... You know, how do I get it so that it looks how I want it to look?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I know that there are these themes.
Yeah.
You know, how does that work?
Yeah, that is a good question. That I deal with support for WordPress.com, and I get a lot. I deal with a lot of users asking about those questions. And the first thing, before I actually answer that question, first thing that I recommend is for you to focus on your content first, okay? Because you need to be found by the search engines before people can judge whether or not your site is ugly, right?
And they'll tell you if it's ugly pretty quickly.
Right, but they won't even tell you it's ugly if they don't find you, right? And the best way to be found by Google and the search engines is to have content. And especially at the beginning, if you need to focus on one thing, focus on the content. Even if the site doesn't look the way you want, focus on the content first so you can start being found. And then once that's undergoing, then you can worry about the looks of it. So WordPress installation is basically consists of posts and pages, categories and menus, like the bare bones, right? So those things never change. But what you can do is to install a theme for your WordPress site that will change the look of the site, but will not mess with the content, right? So back in the day, if you wanted to change the way your website looked, you basically had to rewrite it. And websites like Google, for example, would not like that. So every time you would change the looks, you basically lose your rankings on Google, right? Because the looks were really attached to the content. What WordPress does is allows you to change the theme without messing with the content. So Google is blind to the looks of the site. They can only see content. So you can play around, try different themes, which you can find right from your WordPress dashboard. There's a location there for under appearances and themes, and then it opens the theme repository, and you can choose a theme right there. Or you can buy it from a third-party company and then upload it to your site. But you can do that as much as you want, and it doesn't affect your content.
Yeah, and I the theme that we use on our website is from Appendipity.
Okay.
And those are specifically designed for WordPress. Because it's like you're saying, the theme is really like, you know, page, post, category. Those are like boxes.
Yeah.
And all the themes that are out there that are being sold specifically for WordPress, all those boxes are fit in there. And however, mm-hmm. even though the theme looks differently, everything's going to drop into those particular boxes.
Yeah.
And so that architecture is still there, even if it looks completely different. Mm-hmm. And so, and the other thing, to sort of amplify what you're saying, you know, yeah, focus on your content. You know, and a lot of people who start out with podcasts are basically creating blogs. And the very early themes that you're going to be working with in WordPress are blog themes that are just going to be, here's a story, I'm going to embed a photo in it maybe, here's my headline, you know, and then maybe I put in an embeddable player, or I use, you know, something else to get my podcast in there. But, you know, starting out very simply, a simple design, and then as you become more successful and you get a better sense of what your website can do, then you can start looking to themes and start moving things around.
Yeah, just to drive the point home of, you know, I think people focus on that too much at the beginning. I started this podcast that I produced today. I think I started it in 2013, so 3 years ago. I chose a theme from WooThemes, and I basically just out of the box, that's what I used, and it's still the same theme. You know, still the same theme. It was never. I mean, the priority became quickly, okay, my guests, my audience, the content creation. You know, I wanted a better microphone, so I invested on that instead of a flashy theme. And really, like, it doesn't bother me anymore. That maybe it's a bit outdated, but, you know, it's responsive, so it works on your phone, on your tablet. It's easy to navigate. Could be prettier. I guess it could always be prettier, right? But I like it, you know. And that's the other thing. While it's important to have a website that looks good and it's there, and, you know, to be your home base, the focus, if you're a podcaster, at least in my case, I get way more downloads of my show than I get visitors to my site.
Right.
The ratio is about 10 to 1.
Yeah.
So for every 10 people who listen to the podcast, one visits my website. So that tells you what I should be focusing, right?
Right.
Because the Pareto rule, you know, you focus on 20%. 20% of your problems, 20% of your issues are responsible for 80% of your problems, right?
Right.
So if you focus on that 20%, which in my case is to create the content, then 80% of my success will come from that.
Yeah. The website is definitely, I think it's really, in many ways, I think it's crucial to have a website. I don't think that should be your end game necessarily. Mm-hmm. You know, start out with something that's good, that's you know, that may not be the most beautiful site, but functions for what you're doing. You know, make sure there's room in there for, like, you know, as you grow, you know, grow your website, work in it. You know, that's the other nice thing about WordPress is, you know, once you start doing monetization, there are apps or there are widgets that you can download that are gonna help you do that,
right?
And to get ads, you know, banner ads and things like that. So, it's important. It's really weird because it's like the website is important for a lot of different reasons, but it shouldn't necessarily be the most important thing. But it's important. So you want to have it. Definitely in the beginning, because I know that sometimes some of the hosting companies will sort of say, well, we've got, you know, you just need to load your stuff up here and you can send people to this and we'll change your domain. You know, we'll change your domain to, you know, our hosting, whatever your hosting page is, because you have a presence somewhere on a lot of these hosting things.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe you want to do that. But, you know, I think it's important to have a separate identity from your podcast and a place where people can come. And it's just a useful tool in the long run. Okay, well, that's pretty much all I wanted to say.
Awesome.
Thanks for taking the time and talking about this. Have fun at Podcast Movement.
Yeah, no, thanks for the opportunity.
You've been listening to It's All Journalism, a weekly podcast about the changing state of digital news. Find out more about us and download past episodes at itsalljournalism.com. You can also find us on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and now Google Play. It's All Journalism is produced in partnership with the Association of Alternative News Media. Thanks for listening.